information of all types is so readily available, people are looking for the answers to life's most important questions, yet the darkness never seems to lift. We at Lighthouse believe that what the world is looking for is actually a person, not an idea. That person is Christ Jesus, not the Jesus in a bottle that grants your wishes, or the Jesus that is powerlessly sitting back wishing he could be part of your life. I'm talking about the Christ Jesus of the Scripture, who is Almighty God. He who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," and also said, "I am the light of the world." It is this Jesus that is only found through the narrow gate. It is he who has the power to dispel darkness. Join us now for the light of the Word as we take a weekly expositional trip through the Scriptures. I'm your host, Pastor Eugene. So let's listen in to Pastor Jim as he opens the Epistle of James.
If you would turn with me to James chapter 1 and find the second verse. Once you have found that, if you'd please stand with me, we will honor God with the reading of His Word this morning. Beginning in the second verse of James chapter 1. "Count all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like the wave of the sea and is driven and tossed by the wind. But the person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation, and the rich in his humiliation, because like a flower of the grass he will pass away. For the sun rises, and with its scorching heat withers the grass. Its flowers fall, and its beauty perishes. So also will the rich man fade in the midst of his pursuits. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him." Father, as we study in your word this morning, and as we dig into these verses, Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit would move amongst this house, and would move amongst those who are here, and they would be moved by you through your word. I ask, Lord, that I would not get into your way, but that your word, that your truth, you would speak it through me for your glory's sake. And it is in the name of Christ Jesus that I pray. Amen. Now, I know that in this gathering today, no one here has ever had a troubling thing happen in their life, right? We've all had trials, haven't we? Trials are a part of life. In trials, we seem to go regularly. Let me tell you now. No matter how difficult the trial is in, no matter how deep into the depths of what feels like the abyss that your trials have taken you, it is only for a season. And in fact, there is a purpose in our trials, isn't there? There is a purpose in that. Wouldn't it be horrible to go through the things that we go through and think there was no purpose in it? I don't understand how someone who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ can make it through the difficulty of those kinds of things. So James starts in here, the second sentence in his epistle, his letter. He says, "Count it all joy, my brothers." Now remember who he's writing to. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. He's writing to the 12 tribes, he says in the first verse. But not just to the 12 tribes who have been dispersed. He's writing to those who believe amongst the 12 tribes. He is writing to others who are of the way, they might have called them at that time, or we would call Christians. And he's writing to them because there is persecution that is sweeping the land, and he wants to encourage them. Because when we become persecuted, what is the first thing we want to do? Get out of it, isn't it? Back away from it. And many, many have and many will turn away from our Lord Jesus Christ because of trials in their life. But he says, count it all joy. Now, I think of joy. I think of some of the most joyful things that have taken place in my life. This feeling of joy is what James is telling brothers and sisters to count the trials as. Sounds easy enough, right? To count trials, to count difficulties, to count those things that bring us down as joyful is not easy. In fact, apart from Jesus Christ, I'll tell you now, you will not and cannot. You might find somebody else's trials joyful, but you will never find your own unless you understand the purpose of those trials. So now we understand we are to count them as joy. He says, when trials of various kinds. Now, the word there is trials. The word in the different versions is translated trials, except for the King James, I believe the Geneva, and they translate that same word to be temptation. I would say that temptation is an incorrect translation of this word. I've done some word study on this particular word. It is parosmos, and it is almost always translated trial. But for some reason here, both in verse 1 and in verse 12, in some versions they go with the word temptation. Temptation is not the same as a trial, is it? Though a temptation may feel like a trial, a temptation is still a testing, isn't it? But it is not the trial. The trial is the pain of being in difficulty. And then he says of various kinds, where I just said I didn't care for the word in the King James being temptation. I love the word in the King James here, divers. Or in other words, diverse. I think the word various maybe leaves it a little short. But diverse tells us there's all types of trials. In fact, some things that are a trial to me are not going to be a trial to you. And you're not going to face just one type of trial. You're going to face different trials of all kinds. John MacArthur says, multicolored trials. You'll see trials of all different types and flavors. Trials that are meant to bring you down. What do you mean, Pastor, meant to bring you down? I mean that trials are what the enemy wants to use to change your hope from Jesus Christ to despair. Think about Job. Remember, Job was a very faithful servant to the Lord God. And Satan had given his report to God and said that he had been going to and from. God asked Satan, he said, have you considered my servant Job? And Satan began to pour out trials upon Job. And the entire purpose of those trials was to prove to God. Can you imagine trying to prove something to God? But he was trying to get Job to turn against God. There were those around him, even Job's wife said, just curse God and die, because the trials were so heavy. But Job would not curse God. He would not turn from God. In fact, he stayed very faithful to God. Did he understand? Well, if we read Job, we know he didn't understand while he was going through all this. But he knew that God was God, and he was not. I love when God reminds him of that fact, and God says, where were you when I hung the stars? We need to remember where we were when God hung the stars. As we face trials, and these trials are going to be of all different types. I know in my life, I have had a number of trials that have come, and the old man that doesn't seem to want to go away sometimes, that old man considered packing up and running. But thank God that he has regenerated my heart and created in me a new creation, a new man who stood when he wanted to run. So we are going to face these trials. And folks, some trials are going to be inside of us, in our mind, in our heart. And some trials are going to be against the exterior of our bodies, against those around us. Trials are going to be all different ways. But whether it is a trial that is in our heart and mind, or a trial that is against the body or those around us, it's still a trial, isn't it? And every one of you has faced kinds. Sometimes the trial in our heart, in our mind, is a harder one to overcome than the trial that we face physically. James says in this third verse, "For you know the testing of your faith produces steadfastness." It produces steadfastness. Before I get into this verse and bring them all together here in a few moments, it says it's the testing of your faith. When I was growing up, as with you, most of you anyway, probably, you went to school, right? And in school, you got tested. Now, the test that you took when you were in school was to show the teacher what you had learned, right? So the teacher could measure what you knew. Well, the testing of our faith, these trials, we're the ones that is showing what we believe about Jesus Christ. When we have something very difficult that we have to face, and we choose to back away from it instead of honoring God, that shows what we believe about Jesus Christ, doesn't it? It shows it pretty quick. We must. If we belong to Jesus Christ, we must see this testing and use it to measure ourselves. We should constantly be looking at ourselves and our walk with Jesus Christ. And the first time you pat yourself on the back and say, "Okay, I'm there. Brothers and sisters, I'm sorry, but you are in for a fall." Because we don't get there, but we keep getting closer. Years ago, I realized it was like climbing a ladder. The closer I come to God climbing this ladder, the longer I realize the ladder is. Because the closer I get, the further I realize I was to begin with. The testing of our faith does this for us. So the testing of our faith produces steadfastness. Now this word steadfastness is here in the English Standard Version. But I'm going to read to you from a couple of other versions. In the King James, it says, "Knowing that this, that the trying of your faith, or the testing of your faith, worketh patience." So we have steadfastness and we have patience. But if I was to go on, the American Standard says endurance. "Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance." So now we have endurance for this word. We have steadfastness and we have patience. We can go one more. The NIV says it produces perseverance. It produces perseverance. Now there's a word that we're very familiar with around here, right? When we think of the doctrines of grace, we get down there to the end and it's the perseverance of the saints, right? What the testing of your faith produces is a steadfastness to stay patient through endurance of these testings, so that you will see and know your perseverance. We know that the person who owns the sheep will stand and fight for the sheep, but the hireling would not risk his life for the sheep. We need to stand so that we can see the perseverance as a saint. Oh, I tell you, I know how easy it is to fall away. I know how easy it is for something to happen and for our hearts to lose heart, so to speak, and for us to begin to fall away and to get away from what is most important, what is the very thing that draws us closer to God. Now, sometimes those trials can be something as simple as a busy lifestyle. There are people in America that get busy lifestyles and they can't keep up with everything. And so when something has to go, it is their time with God. It is their doing what is right before Him. But brothers and sisters, when you fall that way, you have fallen into a trial. And when you have fallen into the trial, you are putting distance between you and God. Let's stop for just a second. And let's assume you know nothing about faith. So why is it important? Why is it important for somebody to have steadfastness or perseverance or patience or endurance in their faith? Because that proves that it is faith. I sadly have seen many a person excited about Jesus Christ fall away and go to the world. I have seen those who have professed, but when something tough, they leave Jesus in the background. And we have the perfect example of that in marriage today in America. What is the statistic? Is it something like half of all Christian marriages will end in divorce? A friend of mine and I this week were going on a ride and we got to talking about commitment. Where is the commitment to marriage? How can someone call themselves a Christian and walk away from what they said God has put together? Because they can walk away from Him just as easily. And I say they, but the truth is, it's us, isn't it? We can walk away from God just as easily as we can walk away from a marriage, as we can walk away from a friendship, as we can walk away from a job. Because we do not seem to have the commitment to stay. That commitment towards Jesus Christ comes from one place. When He regenerates your heart. When He regenerates your heart, when He comes, and we talked about it just a moment ago, and He gives you a new heart, when that happens, that is the event that we talk about sometimes, and we say, oh Lord, open up their eyes. That's what it takes to open up the eyes of someone who does not see. It's for God to regenerate and give them a new heart. That new heart gives them new eyes. Those new eyes also come with new ears, and they can see and hear God's Word and know it is Him. But until then, two men can sit side by side, hear the exact same thing, and one be moved and one not. Why is it important, though? That was the question. Because if you do not believe Jesus Christ, if you are not His in this way of commitment that He gives to us, if you are not His in that way, you have one destination, one destination only, and that is hell. Hell is not a very pretty word, is it? It's even uglier when we begin to describe it. And it should break our hearts that all around us there are men and women going to hell because they do not know Jesus Christ. They're going to a place that the Bible describes as a place of eternal torment. I've had a few things in my life that I thought were torment. But compared to what hell is, there is nothing you can face on earth that compares. This is why it is so important for us to test ourselves in trials. When the opportunity to do wrong comes in that temptation, and we go into the temptation, and it becomes a trial, and temptations do become trials, even though a temptation and a trial are not the same thing. When that happens, we show what we believe about Jesus Christ, and we show it not only to ourselves, but to everyone around us. When we have the opportunity to do right and to honor Him, and we choose to do wrong, we show where our faith really is. Now, I know this sounds like a simple subject and shouldn't take long to explain. But the fact is we go looking for ways around it. We go looking for ways to see that we can get around those things of God's Word. I remember the story I read once of W.C. Fields. As he was on his deathbed, of course, if you know anything about Fields, he was an atheist. He had a great disdain for God. But on his deathbed, he's in his hospital bed and he's got a Gideon's Bible. And he's searching through it when a friend comes in. Bill, what are you doing? He says, I'm looking for loopholes. We think we can get around this, but we can't. And many a preacher will tell you, all you got to do is say these words. In fact, I'll pray them, and if you agree with me, you're saved. That is a lie. All you have to do is have your heart regenerated by Jesus Christ. That's what has to happen. But all around us, people are looking for ways to get around God's Word. And so are you and I, whether we will admit it or not. We go right up to the edge of what is not right, looking for that way around it. But this testing, these trials are to grow our strength of steadfastness. I remember early on in my Christian walk, when somebody would sell me something that this instead of this, I couldn't discuss it with them. I had to go find out. I had to go to God's Word. I had to go to commentaries. I had to go to people who I trusted in Christ to seek to find out if this is true or not. As God grew me in His Word, and people challenged it as I preached, more than once I had to step back, get into His Word, and pray to know for sure that I was teaching truth. I am willing to stand on what I teach, but I want to make sure I stand in righteousness of Christ and not righteousness of Jim Lowry. Because Jim Lowry's righteousness is nothing, but the righteousness of Christ is everything. And that's what the steadfastness produces. It produces the patience. It produces the endurance. And it produces the perseverance. The perseverance of the saints is that we will still be in the end. When we look through the Scriptures, time after time, the Scriptures tell us that the one who will be saved is the one who perseveres to the end. It also tells us the one who endures to the end, or the one who conquers, will be the one who is saved. And we in our humanness think that this is something that we do. Christ does in us. So the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. I'm going to drop down to verse 12 for a second. This is truly James continuing with those Beatitudes that we would see in Matthew 5. He says, "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trials." Blessed is the man. Now, I don't care if they're a Christian or not. If you walk up to somebody and ask them if they want to be blessed, are they going to tell you no? We want to be blessed, don't we? And we want to be blessed by God if we belong to Him. And that is for the one who remains steadfast, for the one who endures to the end, for the one who perseveres. I remember a time when I would think of the word steadfastness, and I thought that meant ready to fight. Well, in a sense, it kind of does, but that's really not it. What it is being willing to take whatever comes. Friends, steadfastness means in trials, we stand for Jesus Christ. It's that simple. It's that difficult. It's that diverse. That whatever comes, we stand. Back up in our fourth verse, says, "Let steadfastness have its full effect." What is the effect of steadfastness? What is the effect of perseverance or endurance? What effect are we looking for? As we stand for Christ, as we see through trials our faith, we are looking to grow more and more Christ-like. James says that you may be perfect and complete. Well, who is perfect and complete? No one but Jesus Christ, right? He is the only one who is perfect and complete. And if we are trying to be more Christ-like, then we are working towards being perfect and complete. And if we persevere to the end, if we are steadfast to the end or endure to the end, then in glory we become perfect. In glory. But when we fall, when we choose, when we decide that God's way is not our way, we are going the wrong direction. Now, folks, let me tell you, I know this world offers a lot of what it calls joys. And there's a lot of things to draw us away from God. But if we stay steadfast, that's where the real joy comes from, in staying steadfast. I want to just jump real quick over to a couple of other verses. Matthew 5, verse 12 says, "Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Rejoice and be glad because you are being persecuted, because they persecuted the prophets who came before. 1 Peter 1, 6, "In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials." But rejoice in them. The next verse goes on to say, in 1 Peter 1, "So that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes,
through the tested, or will be tested by the fire. And you may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Friends, I want to honor God. I want you to honor God with me in anything from this world. It's only going to come by following after Him. Here in this, He says that steadfastness would have its full effect. Romans 5:3 says, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. When it gets to the end, I want to still be standing. And we need to stay steadfast. We need to endure. We need to stand. You know, I find it interesting. I quote Martin Luther. I use Martin Luther's commentaries. But you know what Martin Luther said about the book of James? He said that it was a strawy epistle. That's S-T-R-A-W-Y. That's what he said this epistle was. There is such depth here in James to how we live our life that must be looked at. We must seek it. So as he continues here, he says, lacking nothing, if we have Jesus Christ, what are we lacking? In fact, if we have everything but Jesus Christ, are we lacking nothing? We're lacking everything, aren't we? So the only thing that it could possibly mean is in lacking nothing is that we have Jesus Christ, that we are in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ is in us. That's the steadfastness produces. That's what the endurance produces. Now, as I drop back down to verse 12, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life. So let's stop for just a second here. Do you say, I'm going to be saved? Or do you say, I am saved? We say we are saved, don't we? Once we are saved, we are saved. You know, as Baptists, we say once saved, always saved, right? If we are saved. And this crown that it's talking about is the crown of life, which is salvation. And that crown is ours. But be clear what he says here. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life. Or in other words, if you have not stood the test, it is because you were never saved to begin with. One of the things that bothers me so much when I listen to so many preachers on the radio as I'm going down the road is they would have somebody believe they're saved for themselves, not for that person's soul. In the end, did you come through the trials counting it as joy because you are willing to face anything for the glory of God that you belong to Jesus Christ? He finishes this with, which God has promised to those who love Him. All right. Well, we're going to close with this here in just a moment. For those who love Him, let's just ask ourselves, how do we know if we love God? How do we know if we love Jesus Christ? He has told us in His Word. He said, we'll know that we love Him if we keep His commandments. He did not say, you'll know that you love me because you're in church every Sunday. He did not even say because you spend time in His Word or you spend time praying. He said, you will know that you love Him because you keep His commandments. Please stand with me. Father, as we close this service, Lord, I thank You for Your grace that in those times when I did not count the trial as joy, Your grace still covered me. I thank You for Your righteousness that You placed upon me so that even though I am unrighteous, I am covered in the righteousness of Christ and can stand. I know I am weak, but it is You who I am in. And You in me that allows me the steadfastness in the testing. And I pray that for my brothers and sisters here, for those who are not Yours, yes, today would be the day of salvation. In the name of Christ Jesus, my Savior, I pray. Amen.
The preceding message was delivered by Pastor Jim at Lighthouse Baptist Church in St. George. For more information, you can look him up at www.lighthousesbc.org.